Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That's An American in Paris by George Gershwin. And what makes it news is that tomorrow it will be played by Americans in Pyongyang, North Korea, as in Axis of Evil. The New York Philharmonic, this is their version, right? This is a recorded, yes, it is, a New York Philharmonic version of An American in Paris. And they arrive today in the North Korean capital for a concert that's being compared to past trips to Russia during the Cold War and China just after Nixon's trip. But is musical diplomacy a good idea? We're going to open up the phones, especially for Koreans here. Is any contact a good idea, or does this offer support to the totalitarian regime there and just an opportunity for propaganda, as critics say, especially if you're a Korean-American? We want to hear from you at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And I'm joined now from Pyongyang by WNYC's John Schaefer, the host of Soundcheck and New Sounds, who is there covering this trip, and also by Charles Armstrong, associate professor of history and director of the Center for Korean Studies at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. Charles, welcome back. And hello, John.
Hi, Brian.
I don't think you've ever been a guest on this show before.
And I had to go halfway around the world to do it.
That's right. What time is it there right now?
It is it's about 12:45 in the morning.
How tired are you, and how supervised are you by Korean authorities over what you can say?
Very, and not as much as you would have thought, are the respective answers. It's been a heck of a day.
More tired than supervised. More tired than supervised.
More tired than supervised, to, I think, my amazement. I mean, I'm here in the press center at the big hotel in Pyongyang with a number of other very tired journalists who are filing stories and doing similar things. We have been given handlers, you know, one handler for every five or six journalists, but I don't think they quite knew what they were getting into when they invited the International Press Corps along. Journalists are really hard to wrangle.
Yeah, so you're giving them some trouble?
Well, you know, it was the scene on the tarmac when we actually came down the steps onto the tarmac, you know, the old-fashioned way, a la the Beatles, was one of barely controlled pandemonium, despite the best efforts of various folks from the Ministry of Culture and various security officials. There was no restraining, especially the network cameramen. it was really quite funny to see. And I guess at some point they just decided that customs was going to be a bad job, and they just put us on buses and sent us to the hotel.
If freedom looks like an American television crew, do they really want it? Charles Armstrong, what do you think of the trip? I gather you've been quoted as saying it's a good thing, but from something I read, the eight Korean members of the orchestra have not necessarily been the happiest about the trip.
Well, it's not an easy place to go for Koreans, you know, especially with South Korean connections and who've, you know, spent a long time in this country. It's a very strange and different place. But I think overall this is a good thing as part of a broader process of a changing relationship between the U.S. and North Korea and an opening up of North Korea. It's the first major American orchestra to have traveled to North Korea, and this is the beginning, hopefully, of a new page in U.S.-North Korean relations.
Could it really be the beginning of a new page? Just because somebody's going to go and play some Gershwin and Dvorak, what does it really change?
Not by itself. I mean, Gershwin and Dvorak is part of a much broader process related, of course, to the nuclear deal, which was signed February 13th of last year. And this trip would not have been possible if the North Korean authorities didn't feel that this was time to open things up a bit with the U.S.
John, I know you got to go in a minute, and of course you'll be there as we air the concert live tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern time. You'll be doing many other things on the station during the week. On soundcheck every day, is that when you're checking in?
Yeah, not quite every day, but today, tomorrow, and kind of a big wrap-up on Friday, looking at some of the questions that Charles was just raising, because as he said, you know, there were some ambivalent feelings on the part of not just the Korean and Korean-American members of the orchestra, and there are both, Korean-born mm-hmm. and American, but on the part of just some of the rank-and-file musicians. But everyone that I've spoken to has really come around to the idea that this is a very exciting thing, and of course it's inevitable and impossible to avoid both the press and the whiff of politics that overshadows the whole thing. But at the end of the day, they're excited to be bringing their music to a part of the world that has never heard it before. When you're the New York Philharmonic, the amount of places where you can say that in the world is a rapidly dwindling one.
And I gather you'll be coming back on with us for a little bit of a deeper look at some of the ramifications on Friday morning as well when you're back. But just give me your impression of the program before you go, because the program, from what I've heard of it, doesn't seem the least bit revolutionary. Dvorak's New World Symphony, Gershwin's An American in Paris. Why these pieces?
Well, both of those pieces have long histories with the New York Philharmonic. Both pieces were premiered by the New York Philharmonic. You know, we think of Dvorak as a Czech composer, but yeah. He was living in Manhattan when he wrote most of the New World Symphony, and of course it was inspired by the time that he spent both in New York and in a little town in Iowa that had a big Czech expat community. So it's a piece that really had the New York Philharmonic as an inspiration and as its first kind of vehicle when it was heard back in the late 19th century.
Should I read anything
for the Gershwin?
Should I read anything into the titles? You know, An American in Paris does refer to Americans abroad, and
absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, they had to walk a very fine line. I mean, you know, you'll notice that there's no Beethoven, for example. Or anything else that could be perceived as having a kind of revolutionary or rights of man kind of overture or overtone to it.
There is a Wagner piece.
Sorry?
Oh, I was just mentioning that there is Wagner, who's often associated with the opposite.
Yeah, that's the one sort of oddity on the program, the Wagner Lohengrin overture. I'm not sure what that's doing there, other than it's a really nice piece, and I guess they like playing it. But the two major works on the program are not only very American, they are also very specific to the New York Philharmonic. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, it's a musical calling card, and it was done with a certain amount of sensitivity to to their hosts, to the government of Pyongyang.
So the Gershwin has some jazz overtones, and I gather that jazz as an art form is banned in North Korea. Is that correct?
You know what it is? it's actually a little weirder than that. Jazz is a term here that is used to describe all Western music.
Oh.
And the definition of jazz is music that has no melody. So it's a kind of all-encompassing catch-all phrase for the degenerate music that we Westerners listen to, whether that's Rachmaninoff or the Rolling Stones.
Well, don't tell Wynton Marsalis. And, of course, when people wanted to deride Charlie Parker's music as being melodyless when it was new, they called it Chinese music.
Right. There's always some other, you know, with a capital
yes.
O. And, you know, if anything comes out of this, other than a great concert, it's going to be a whole bunch of North Koreans getting to meet, you know, these musicians and realize they're not so other. I mean, we're already realizing that just from seeing the North Koreans. I think we expected them to be very other. And we're finding, you know, seeing people on the street who wear the same clothes and run the same way we do when we're trying to catch a bus or a train, and you know, that is really something that's hard to overstate the importance of.
WNYC's John Schaefer in Pyongyang with the New York Philharmonic. Thanks a lot, John. Be listening for you later on.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, still with Charles Armstrong, professor of international affairs and a North Korea expert at Columbia University. And Charles, let's take a few phone calls from Korean Americans calling in. Here is Therese in Manhattan. Hi, Therese.
Mr. Lehrer, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Armstrong and New York Philharmonic. As a Korean-American, with my gratitude and pride for being a naturalized American citizen for decades, this is one of the greatest news that I've heard. I love your program for this time about this humanitarian and artistic extension to North Korea. They are starved for humanity, especially from America. They've heard enough about being called the axis of the world, axis of the evil. Please stop calling them. No politicians have called them recently. And Mr. Lehrer, don't start the program that way. But anyway, I appreciate your interest in pulling North Korea into the world community on this wonderful, beautiful artist program. They are very talented people. They have humanity as much as we have. They are human beings. Please let them come into our world community and create peace, help create peace in Southeast Asia.
Teresa, so what would you say to the people who say it's the government of North Korea that is preventing its people from joining the world community, and they're the ones who need to be isolated?
Well, they have been isolated for 100 years before, because Japan had isolated them and Korea for 40 years before the Korean World War broke out. So actually, it's about a century they've been isolated from Western world, maybe from Eastern world as well. They need to be pulled out. Yes. If we are people of God, I mean, whatever religion you are.
Teresa, I'm going to have to leave it there because our time is running out, but thank you so much for your heartfelt call. We really, really appreciate it. And Charles Armstrong, how much do you think she reflects what many Korean Americans and many South Koreans are feeling, or how much ambivalence do you think there is about this?
Well, I think there's quite a bit of ambivalence among Koreans here. I think in South Korea they're used to this kind of thing. You know, North Korea has not been as isolated from the cultural world outside its border as we may think. There have been two inter-Korean orchestras who performed at the time of the two summits, as North and South Korea joint orchestras in 2000-2007. Korean boy bands have gone from the south to the north, and they've even had American groups come there. A bluegrass band from Oregon called the Trail Band came in, and of all things, a Christian rock band called Casting Crowns visited Pyongyang this past spring of 2007. So there's been, you know, a kind of opening going on already, although nothing on the, quite on the scale of the Philharmonic.
Yeah. And I want to get your take on the music. And, you know, I don't have to keep a secret from the audience that you and I know each other personally, and our kids took classical music training together for 7 years.
That's right.
So I know how into music you are. I've been to your home and saw your extensive collection. What do you think about the choice of music here?
Well, I think it's very interesting. Clearly, they wanted to show music that's very American, that really represents the New York Philharmonic and American types of classical music. And these are things that the North Koreans would not have been exposed to. They're not strangers to Western classical music, although that's not was really emphasized in their music training. But they'd be more familiar with the European classics. You know, let's remember that North Korea had close ties to East Germany and the Soviet Union for many years. Orchestras from the East Bloc visited Pyongyang and played Beethoven and Bach and so forth. So I think it's the American flavor of this that's really exciting and really something new for the North Koreans.
What do you say to people like Terry Teachout, the critic of the Wall Street Journal, who said this is a, quote, puppet show whose purpose is to lend legitimacy to a despicable regime, unquote? Is that a concern for you?
Not really. It's not as if the North Korean regime is going to collapse if the New York Philharmonic doesn't go. You know, I think that regime has, for better or for worse, a certain kind of staying power. The more important aspect of this is the exposure to an American orchestra and as John was saying earlier, encounters with ordinary American people. You know, this people-to-people diplomacy is really critical for bringing a country like North Korea out of its shell.
All right. Charles Armstrong, Associate Professor of History and Director of the Center for Korean Studies at Columbia School of International and Public Affairs. You want to say a last word in about 20 seconds on what Americans might look for about North Korea in this coverage?
Yeah, I think that Americans might want to look for the next great classical musician to come out of North Korea. If we've got so many great classical musicians from the South, the North, with the same culture and historical background, could be quite a contender in the world of classical music stage as well.
Charles, thanks a lot.
Sure thing.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.